Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So the conversation that we kept meaning to have, but just didn't, is the one about Mamdani and Trump. They got together after what was a very, very fiery campaign in terms of, certainly in terms of the relationship. And when we spoke to John Day, we said we'd come back to this because we really wanted to get a sense of what that meeting was all about. The body language was very professional, I think. They kind of looked like they were warm. There were certain parts that Trump clearly was not happy. But let's go through it. John Day is joining us this morning. He is an attorney in the United States and a commentator. John, a very, very good morning to you. So what was your first reaction when you saw the two of them smiling and shaking hands?
Well, good morning, Howard. Thank you for having me. So this was fascinating because through the entire mayoral campaign, you had Trump calling Mamdani a commie. Those were his words. And Mamdani calling Trump a fascist. But remember what underlies both of these guys' charm and charisma is that they're populists, Trump nationwide, Mamdani locally in New York City. And they, I think what you saw was Trump admiring the charisma of a fellow politician who was able to harness populism, not throughout the whole country, but in New York, to the extent that he was incredibly successful. Remember, Trump loves winners. He loves charismatic winners. Ah. He likes to associate himself with them. And so in spite of his rhetoric, in spite of calling Mamdani a communist and, you know, basically lobbing all these grenades into him throughout the campaign. And remember, the Republicans were hoping to use Mamdani as the, hold him up as the new leader of the Democratic Party. And so what happens is you have Trump, who had criticized this guy relentlessly. They go to this meeting that benefits both of them, really. And you've got Trump undercutting the Republican strategy of using Mamdani as the figurehead of the Democrats, calling him a socialist and a communist, and Trump admiring the guy and saying all these things like how he's going to support him and how they both are working for the good of New York City. And it was fascinating because they got along like a house on fire, as we say. I mean, they were like best friends by the end of that meeting,
which is fascinating. The reality is that surely Trump played it the right way in that he was very vocal, did whatever he could not to get him elected. But once he is elected as the mayor of the arguably the most significant city in the United States, as the president, he surely has got to find a way to work together for the betterment of the city.
Yeah, and but look, you know, the stakes were high for Mamdani because if he had gone in there and in that meeting had become contentious and adversarial and, you know, like the meeting with Zelensky, for example, then Mamdani stood to lose. Look, he was trying to avoid Trump sending the National Guard into New York to deal with crime. He was trying to avoid Trump upping the role of ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents who are catching a lot of heat for their tactics these days. Mamdani was trying to prevent that from exploding. And he also knew that there were, you know, billions of dollars of federal funds at stake. If Trump wanted to cut off funding to New York, he could have done that. So there was a lot riding on this meeting, and Mamdani played it incredibly skillfully. And Trump, rather than taking the bait that was being offered, I think, by a lot on his Republicans, a lot of MAGA supporters to launch an attack on Mamdani, skillfully was able to, you know, capture the moment. And so it looked like both men came out of that looking like sharp professional politicians who were both working for the benefit of New York. And of course, after the meeting, Mamdani was reported to have said, yeah, Trump's still a fascist. He's still, you know, he's still a target for me. But Both of them got something out of that, and it was really fascinating to watch after all the rhetoric of that election campaign.
It was clear that Trump, in his body language, was very uncomfortable when Mamdani spoke about genocide and Gaza. Yet he chose to remain silent about it. He didn't take it on and allow it to become part of the conversation. Can I assume that this was something they had decided in terms of strategy, or Trump had decided ahead of time in terms of his strategy?
I think you're right. I think Trump and his people decided that they could get more out of this by not continuing the battle in the Oval Office. And once the election was over, I think they probably assumed that they could not bring up that issue and still benefit from this, the optics of this meeting, because it made Trump look like a magnanimous leader. He's able to, you know, embrace Mamdani. The things he said about him were incredibly complimentary. I mean, he talked about him as he basically, it gets back to Trump liking to surround himself with winners, charismatic winners. And regardless of Mamdani's political positions being so opposite from Trump's, he saw in him a guy who was able to win the media, win the votes, and come across very charismatic. And Trump likes that, no matter what the politics.
Does it? I mean, I know it sounds a little conspiratorial, but in a way, a close connection with Trump and approval of Trump is not particularly good for the Mamdani brand. His whole brand is anti-Trump, anti what he calls fascist. He detests anything that the Republicans and particularly Trump stands for. Now Trump embraces him as though they are the best of friends. In a way, that has potential to do damage to Mamdani.
Well, you know, there is that danger that. But again, Mamdani had such broad support across the various lines in New York City that I think what it did was it raised him up as someone who can be on the same level as Trump in terms of, you know, look, they did not mix it up in the Oval Office. They were shaking hands and complimenting each other. And what that did for Mamdani was make him look even more successful in terms of being able to meet with the president of the U.S. who had been attacking him on the same level. And again, remember what it did? It undercut, and this is what kind of got so many Republicans frustrated, though, because it undercut the plan that they had, or the desire that they had, to make Mamdani and his democratic socialism the face of the Democratic Party in the upcoming midterm elections, which we have in 2026. So the Republicans were hoping that Mamdani would be seen as this sort of dangerous figure. And when Trump embraces him and talks about supporting him and working with him, suddenly they lose that, you know, all that air goes out of their sails, and they don't have anyone like Mamdani they can point to and say, well, this is the leader of the Democratic Party. They can try it, but what Trump has done is given him the seal of approval in a backhanded way that really did benefit both men.
So you could argue, or you could continue your thought process by saying, in a way, Mamdani symbolizes the split in the Democratic Party because of the socialist side and the more traditional Democrats. In a way, he can also be responsible for a split in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment of it. What we haven't seen, though, yet from Mamdani, and what could certainly restart this battle between Trump and MAGA and then the Democrats and the so-called Democratic Socialists and Mamdani's people, is if something arises in New York that crystallizes issues that came up during the campaign of Mamdani not willing to support New York's Jewish population, Mamdani not willing to stand up for things that a lot of his voters believed in. And so that could be a triggering point. If something does come up in the near future, once he's inaugurated, and he takes a position that alienates a lot of the people who voted for him because it comes off as sort of anti-Israel or pro-Hamas, the way that the campaign was trying to, other campaigns were trying to paint him, that could be something that shifts a lot of this, and Trump could certainly seize on that. We haven't seen it yet, but I think that's something that's a danger that Mamdani's people are thinking about.
No question. In fact, I was going to ask you, what do we watch for next? What will likely be the next thing that will that might trigger a response? In other words, is this a one-day media event with them getting along, or do we think that the realities on the ground will take it back to where it was?
Well, I think that's the thing to watch for, and I think it's likely as not it's going to be something that raises issues within his progressive Jewish supporters, who are going to be concerned about his response on one level, and the base of his support. And then do they give this gift to the Republicans to enable Trump to attack him again? So it's a dangerous spot in a way for Mamdani, because something's going to happen. I mean, we know that something will come up sooner or later that's going to crystallize.
That's what I think.
Opposition.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is where we leave it, John Day. Thank you, as always. It is a 6:47. Give me your thoughts. Do you think this is a one-day event? In other words, that they've gotten that they get along and it'll go back to where it was, or does this signal a new relationship between the two?